pain.
I know you like to get away, go away, far away, to a place where there's just us two. Kind of busy day every day, but not today, 'cause I'm here to take that stress from you.
So you can just chill and clear your head,
and let me do everything for you, 'cause you deserve it.
Prepare your meal and make your
on some wine while I'm steady massaging, releasing all your tension. I couldn't have had better timing. My job is to keep my baby smiling.
So you can just chill and clear your head,
and let me do everything for you, 'cause you deserve it.
Prepare your meal and make your bed.
We'll leave this with braces with you, 'cause you are so worth it.
I just want us to go.
Aloni, Talofalava, warm Pacific greetings. You're tuned in to Te Ama Pacific Health Radio, a grassroots community radio show focused on health, educating and raising awareness around health to improve the health of the Auckland DHB and Waitemata District Health Board population and all New Zealanders who access these services through high quality health and disability services, working in partnership with the Auckland District Health Board and Waitemata District Health Board to improve, promote and protect the health of communities. Well, in the next hour, I am honored to be joined by two very special guests today. Two inspiring individuals of Pacific Island descent who are both at the top of their profession doing big things, serving our communities. And I'll be honest, not many are in the space that they work in. They have put in a lot of years in hard work to perfect their area of specialty, both ultimately working in the health sector to help improve our overall health and well-being here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and also in the South Pacific. As I posted on our Facebook page, Te Ama, and I'll be sending out emails after this show, I opened with the question, what do we love and value the most in this world? And I think it's our babies, our children. As parents, as grandparents, as people, we treasure our children above all else. So my first guest, and a very special person I've had the privilege of getting to know and interviewing a couple of times over the years. Her name is Malaitongia Jacinta Fa'alili Whirau. What can I say about her? Man, she's an inspiration to a lot of us in the Pacific Health workforce. You know, she's a shining light for our communities in New Zealand, Aotearoa, and a powerful advocate, voice, and leader for all parents. This inspirational leader is the founder and chief executive of Moana Research, a consultancy company focused on the early years of life. Her passion to ensure all children have optimal opportunity to thrive in New Zealand, especially Pacific children. So Jacinta and her team at Moana Research have an upcoming two-day event focused around issues impacting Pacific children and families, engaging Pacific parents, community leaders and professionals in a conversation about government strategy. So yes, the phones are going bonkers right now, so let me get this. Okay. Hello.
Hello, hi.
Talofa Sinta.
Mahalo soifua,
Sinta. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us. I know you got a very important upcoming two-day event, you know, which concerns and affects all us parents, especially with young babies, young children. But before we get to that, Sinta, how are you, my friend?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for this opportunity. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Mele Mele.
Whawhitai, Sinta. Hey, Sinta, one quick question. How's my little friend, Jonathan, baby Jonathan?
Oh, Jonathan's fantastic. He's a year old now and is walking. So, yes, he's well and walking. It's hard to believe a year ago he was just, you know.
That's right, yes. Sinta, hey, another quick question before we get into the gist of this Talanoa. Sinta, being a young mother, a mother of a young baby, and you being the chief executive of Moana Research, you're always out and about. How has the response been to you being a working mum and being out there in the community, you know, with baby Jonathan?
Oh, look, yeah, I think people certainly love the fact that, you know, even as mums, we can still, you know, progress with what we want to do. But it doesn't mean I certainly, there's an appreciation of that whenever I meet with people, but I think it's wonderful too that I could still kind of...
Yes. Sinta.
It is wonderful that people like just as you asked me, how was Jonathan? I mean, I think that's reflective of the fact that we, you know, we do interchange between our personal lives and our working lives to try and maintain a sense of balance, I guess, and well-being.
That's awesome to hear, Sinta. You know, that's good to hear. You know, I always remember that earlier on this year when you brought in baby Jonathan and, you know, you were sharing away with what you're doing and at the same time you were tending to baby Jonathan.
Yes, that's right. He loved it. If he could have, you know, if he could talk at the time, he probably would have because he kept grabbing the microphone. But, don't have him this time because he is starting to talk and okay. He'll probably be very vocal.
Yes, awesome. Hey, Sinta, thank you so much again for being here with us. Share with us, Sinta, you got this, you know, you got this very important upcoming two-day event. With for our listeners out there, what is this all about?
Yeah, so we have a couple of seminars. One's aimed at parents, and that's the one that I think will probably be of most interest to your listeners.
Yes.
This one is designed with parents in mind because we've acknowledged that we've worked in health for such a long time and often the health promotion messages are very issue specific. You know, one day it's about safe sleep, another it's about nutrition, and another it's about immunization. All of these are incredibly important and we need to promote that. But over time, I think just the move towards integration, move towards
Cinta.
You know, making sure that my children are, you know, are developing well, just or establishing a relationship with them.
Yes.
These are some of the things that, we've taken on board. So we've brought the seminar in a bit to try and address some of those kind of pressing issues like parenting in today's age and parenting in an era where there's increasing digital access. So that's really the focus of our seminar.
Absolutely.
on day one.
And would you like to share with us what's happening on day two? And I understand that's for the workforce, professionals?
Yes. So day two has a research focus, but also very much a data information focus. So, you know, in this day and age, a lot of information about us has been collected personally, you know, about ourselves, about our families, about our households. And so it's really important that we keep ahead of a lot of the discussion and conversation and movement around ownership of this data, around control of the use of this data, privacy laws, data protection, because a lot of these laws are being written without us. And so we need to make sure that we are part of this conversation, part of the discussion, so that more data is collected about us, we've put in place mechanisms to make sure that it isn't being utilized in an exploitive way, in a negative way, and could work against us, or we miss out too on opportunities where we can perhaps utilize data in more positive ways. So, yeah, it's really recognizing that this is an important area that we need to come together and discuss. And so it's all about specific data sovereignty or ownership of data, and just what are the principles around the use of data.
Absolutely. Thank you, Santa. And, you know, I really hope a lot of our young parents out there take advantage of this upcoming event. Can you share with us when exactly will this take place and where?
So it's all taking place at Life Church in Manukau. So Life Church in Manukau, there is the old cinemas just across the road from Rainbow's End.
Yes.
And so there's free parking, there'll be free lunch, there's a big family room, parents room, if people want to like just go in there and change their babies or just have some time out with their children. So lots of these that are very family friendly, and it starts at 9 o'clock and it finishes at 3 each day.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much, Santa, for your time. One quick question. Question, Santa. I know you're in a rush. I am trying to hold you back a little. Santa, you know, there's been this terrible situation with the measles outbreak here in Auckland and also back home, back in Samoa. Santa, especially with your line of work, and I know you and your staff have helped out with the situation there back in Samoa. What can we do to help?
So it is a really unfortunate set of circumstances whereby we've had low vaccination rates in Samoa recently, and then with the transportation of measles to Samoa, that set off the epidemic. It really has resulted in these preventable tragedies, and it's come at the cost of the lives of our babies. What we need to promote is the importance of vaccinations, the importance of immunizations, making sure that all our families, both in Samoa and in the Pacific and here in New Zealand, understand the importance of vaccination, because you're protecting yourself, you're protecting your families, you're protecting our communities. We've supported the work of Counties Manukau to deploy staff to Samoa, but we are also helping to mobilise the possibility of having a drop-in clinic here in Mangere for any travellers who are going to Samoa to receive a free vaccination. So anyone between the ages of 6 months and 50 years of age are able to come through and receive a free measles shot. And also any visitors from Samoa. So if you know of anyone who is visiting from Samoa or the Pacific region who hasn't had their vaccination, they can drop into that clinic. So we're organising that as well. But we, as more details come to light, I will share them with you. But please vaccinate, get your families immunised, and let's prevent this unfortunate, you know, tragedy.
Absolutely. So thank you, Santa, for sharing that vital information with us. And you know, I'm looking forward to catching up with you again in person at this.
Absolutely.
Yes. So thank you so much, Santa.
Thank you so much, Mili Mili, for this opportunity. Really appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you.
Thank you, Santa. God bless.
Likewise. Okay,
so far so forth. Okay. So yes, that was my good friend Jacinta on the phone. She couldn't make it in here because she's actually very busy, just like my guest here. You know, I'm very privileged to have Dr. Will Cunningham in the flesh, right in front of me. You know, we have received a lot of feedback and requests, and to be honest, I was blown away by the response. And so yes, Dr. Will is right here, and he'll help us, he'll educate us and raise awareness and a better understanding of with matters of the eye, you know. And we will be focusing especially on cataracts, and I think this is an area that, you know, respectfully, that a lot of us Pacific and Māori in our communities and in general need to be more aware of and focus on. So, yes, we're just going to have a nice little music break and get back right into it with Dr. Will. Talofa Lava, and welcome back to Te Ama Pacific Health Radio. This is a quote from Dr. William Cunningham. Helping people by delivering expert care. Man, I've been practicing that word for a whole week. That's what matters to me. Dr. Will is also the current New Zealand chair of the RANZCO Māori and Pacifica Committee, a group of New Zealand eye surgeons working to address some of the poor ophthalmic health outcomes, such as diabetic retinopathy, I'm not even going to try and pronounce that word, and cataract, to name a few, impacting those people indigenous to Aotearoa and the Pacific. This is a very large task that will involve a huge effort over time, but is something Dr. Will feels very passionately about, especially given he is one of just a handful of ophthalmologists in New Zealand with Māori or Pacific Samoan and a little bit of Tongan heritage. Okay, I'm going to open it up back to you, Dr. Will. Thank you so much for coming in again. As I said, I'm a strong believer in, addressing these health issues that maybe a lot of us are not familiar with. How are you, Dr. Will?
Hello, Mal.
Hello.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. It's good to be here again. I'm good. I'm good. Busy as always. I was quite interested to hear your previous guest, Jacinta. I was most interested to hear about the measles epidemic. And yeah, we will talk about eye-related stuff, cataract today, but I think, yeah, perhaps a more pressing issue is the measles epidemic. And I can only reiterate what she had to say, and that is to vaccinate.
Yes.
Extremely important. And I think it's a great thing that she's her organisation has arranged this pop-up clinic, and it sounds as though, yeah, New Zealand is trying to contribute to the epidemic there.
Yes.
Very important. Vaccinate if you haven't.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you, Will, for seconding and relaying that message. We're here to help in any way we can, and to have your voice second that, it says a lot. Okay, Dr. Will, for some of our listeners out there, as I said to my previous guests, our listening numbers just seem to keep getting higher and higher. So for some of our listeners out there that may be new to our show, Dr. Will, can you please share with us what you do, your profession?
Yeah, we've talked about some of these things previously. So basically I'm an eye surgeon, and that means a big part of my work is operating on the eye. But there are also other things that eye surgeons do. So we don't just operate. We also deal with common, or sometimes not so common, medical problems of the eye. And we also, a big part of our work is getting out in the community and dealing with some of the common problems affecting our people.
Yes.
For me as a retinal surgeon, I see a lot of diabetic eye disease, and as you know, diabetes is very prevalent amongst our Māori and Pacifica, and yeah, I think that's one of my big reasons for wanting to come on the show is to talk around that. And we've already talked about how important it is to be screened for diabetes, to have regular checks with your general practitioners. And today we were going to talk talk about cataract, which is one of those things that can come on in diabetes, but it's also something that everyone will get eventually. And yeah, it's one of the most common causes of preventable blindness, so I thought it'd be good to talk about.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's get right into it. Can you share with us what is a cataract?
Yep. Well, a cataract, the common line I hear when people come in to see me is it's a growth on the front of the eye, and to fix it you just scrape it off, and that's actually a myth. It's actually, if you look at the eye, it's like a miniature camera. So light comes through the front of the eye, through the pupil, which is like the shutter at the on a camera, and then light passes through the lens, and then that light is focused onto the retina, the camera film at the back of the eye. So a cataract is a clouding of the lens, which sits in behind the pupil. And when you're born, that lens is nice and clear and mobile, but as you get older, or if you've got other conditions like diabetes, or if you've had trauma or infection or inflammation in the eye, that lens becomes cloudy. And it's like looking through a frosted window, and it gets to the point where that window is so frosted that you can no longer see
clearly.
Yep.
Okay. So if I can use this example, like my mobile phone, I like taking photos, but then sometimes, you know, the picture isn't clear, and yep. Then I'll just kind of like, you know, kind of go and wipe to make it clear.
Yep.
Is that similar to...
Yep, that's exactly the same. Yep, that's a very good analogy. Mm. So, yeah, any sort of frosting of the lens is cataract, and as I said, it's one of the most common causes of preventable blindness.
Okay, so for me, let's say that you... Can anyone see it? Like, if I looked at you in your eyes, can I see that you've got a cataract?
Yeah, I think that's where that myth that it's a growth sort of comes mm-hmm. about. So if you leave a cataract long enough, it'll turn white. And then if you look in somebody's eye, you'll see a little white blob in the middle of their eye. And from the outside, that looks like it's on the surface of the eye, but it's actually inside the eye, just in behind the pupil. But the aim is to not leave them until they're that bad, because once they get that bad, it's pretty advanced and they're harder to remove. So really you want to catch a cataract, you know, when it's in its early to moderate stages, when it's just starting to affect your vision.
So tell me, you said that it's a preventable eye condition, and then it can happen to anyone, but let's just say, I'll give you an example, someone who's, you know, perfectly healthy, no NCDs or other health conditions, what is the age that you'll expect to see someone, as they age,
yep.
have a cataract?
You can, if you look hard enough, you'll find cataract in anyone over sort of 45 to 50. So you, at that age, you'll start to see early frosting of the lens. But I should clarify, by preventable, I mean that, you know, once you've got a cataract, we can fix it. It's preventable from that side of things. However, cataract, the frosting of the lens process, is a normal thing that happens to everyone eventually.
Okay, so the key is, tell me, when would you... advise, you know, us Pacific Islanders to get an eye examination? What age are we looking at to test for cataracts?
For cataracts specifically, I think, because there are lots of other things that can pop up, not just cataracts. So I think in general people should be having an eye check through an optometrist every 1 to 2 years, just for an overall eye health check. And then, yeah, certainly, you know, over the age of 50, you might be looking for cataract specifically.
Yes.
Say with diabetes or some other conditions, you can get cataract at a much younger age, so even in your teens and 20s.
And that's because we have certain people have a NCD condition. Is that why they'll get the cataract at an earlier age?
So what do you mean by NCD?
Non-communicable disease like diabetes. Will that advance the onset of a cataract?
Yeah, diabetes definitely brings on cataracts sooner.
Yeah.
And the way we think it works is it mucks up the fluidics and the normal sort of chemical processes within the lens. With high blood sugars, you get rapid fluid shifts in and out of the lens, and I suppose you're more likely to get more oxidation with that and earlier onset of cataract. And as we discussed on our previous shows, yes, people with diabetes should be having regular eye checks anyway. And if you go for your diabetic photography or your diabetic photo screening, they'll be able to detect any cataract at that time.
That's amazing. Okay, thank you, Dr. Will, for clarifying that. So it's important for anyone really to get regular eye screening through your GP, correct?
Yep, your GP can arrange that for you. And yes, it's very important to have your GP involved with that process, because it's not just checking your eyes, it's also checking your kidneys, your blood sugar control and other things that come with diabetes. So yeah, having a good relationship with your with your GP is essential.
Dr. Will, okay, so tell me, let's say a patient got referred to you from their GP, right, that they have a early onset of eye disease, and they needed to be operated on or whatever you need to do as an eye surgeon. So where do you come in and what's the procedure there? What do you do?
Yeah, it's a pretty cool operation, and I'm sure many of you have seen the Fred Hollows pictures where you take the patch off on day one and all of a sudden somebody can see, and it is honestly like that a lot of the time. It's a truly amazing operation. But to begin with, you need to make sure that there's enough cataract there to warrant the surgery and that somebody's bothered enough with their cataract. So sometimes I might look in somebody's eye and I see a decent amount of frosting of the lens, but they're quite happy with their vision. And in that case, the cataract's probably not bad enough to fix. So with those ones, I'd send them back to their optometrist to see them every 1 to 2 years. Let's say with your scenario I've been referred a patient with a bad cataract and it is bothering their vision. I also need to make sure that it's just the cataract and nothing else,
yes,
disturbing their vision, such as diabetic retinopathy.
Okay.
Yep. And from there, we'd book them for surgery, and the surgery is simply a lens exchange. So all we're doing is removing the frosted lens and replacing it with a clear plastic lens. And there are different ways to remove a lens. So in first world countries such as New Zealand, we make a tiny little 2 millimeter wound on the side of the eye, and most of the surgery is done with a special machine called a phacoemulsification machine, which we insert through that wound, and that basically breaks up and removes the cataract with us directing it. And then through that wound we can insert a small foldable lens which unfolds inside the eye. Let's say in the Pacific or some other places where you might not have that technology available, another way to remove the lens is to make a big cut on the side of the eye and express the lens as a whole lens. You basically pop it out of the eye and then insert a lens through that wound. Yep.
Wow. Thank you, Dr. Will. That's you know, while you were explaining the surgical procedure there, I was just thinking, you're like talking like micro...
micromillimeters.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Yep. Yeah, it's very fine surgery. I should also mention that it's... the neat thing about it is it's something you can do under a local anaesthetic. So just an anaesthetic gel. Sometimes we numb the eye with an injection of anaesthetic around the eye, but it's something you can do with someone awake, and that makes it a lot safer. So if somebody's got heart disease or bad diabetes, we're unlikely to affect any of their other problems with cataract surgery. It's also a very quick operation, takes around 10 to 20 minutes.
And within that short 10 to 20 minutes, you can literally improve someone's whole outlook on life, literally. Does that make... Am I on the right track?
They can go from zero or very limited vision to 20/20 within minutes.
And, you know, I have been following... the Eye Institute website and also your guys' Facebook page, the Fred Hollows Foundation as well, and I can only imagine the I mentioned it a couple of interviews ago when I first had you on, the feeling you must get from providing that opportunity, you know, for those clients, for those patients.
Yeah, we're very lucky to be able to do what we do, and it is a good feeling, and I suppose that's one of the perks of the job.
Yes.
But it's not always taking someone from zero to perfect vision. It might be someone, you know, who has a problem at the back of the eye, and perhaps fixing their cataract just gives them a bit more vision so that they can function a bit better. There are lots of ways we can help, but cataract surgery is very common, and it does make up a big part of our work. Yeah, we're very lucky.
Awesome, Dr. Will. Okay. Look, I wanted to, you know, I'm still deeply interested in just have a big interest in terms of understanding, you know, the matters of the eye, you know, and tell me, so, okay, after having a cataract operation, okay, let's say it's not too advanced, you know, in the early stages, you've detected, it's been referred to you.
Yep.
What difference would that be in someone going straight to an optometrist or maybe even, an eyewear place and buy some reading glasses? What will be the difference between those two?
Yep. That's a good question. So, as we get older, I've talked about how cataract can frost the lens, but it also starts to change the shape of your lens, and that can make somebody more long-sighted or more short-sighted. So short-sighted means you can see well up close but not in the distance, and long-sighted is the other way around. So, yeah, as you get that frosting with the cataract, the lens can change shape, and then you might find that you're struggling to read, or you might find that you're struggling to see in the distance. And certainly an optometrist can help in those early stages to improve your vision with spectacles. And I would certainly recommend that over surgery, because it's, you know, something that's much less invasive. And, yeah, I think most would choose spectacles or contact lenses over an operation. But it gets to a point where your optometrist can no longer improve your vision with glasses or contact lenses, And that's the point when you are usually referred to see an eye surgeon for the surgery, yeah.
So either way, okay, I'm just being blunt, with or without the optometrist, eventually they will come to see you, provided they want to improve or have their vision.
Yeah, most live long enough these days that eventually you'll end up having cataract surgery at some stage, but I would certainly recommend seeing an optometrist as a, you know, the first point of contact rather than coming straight to
Absolutely.
Us.
Yeah. And we've spoken over the past few weeks. This is the third time you've been in, and you've really got the message across, the importance of going to your GP.
Yep.
That's awesome, Dr. Will. You know, I was really keen to have you discuss this annual. If you can elaborate on that annual conference, eye conference. I saw on your guys' website a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. So I work for the Auckland District Health Board publicly, and then privately I work for the Eye Institute. And at Eye Institute we had our conference the last weekend or the weekend before.
Yes.
And that was one of our big annual optometry conferences where we host optometrists from around New Zealand. And we had a big 2-day conference which was mostly educational, talking about some of the conditions that we often manage together as ophthalmologists and optometrists. But there are plenty of other big conferences, eye conferences, that happen throughout the year, both with Eye Institute and outside of Eye Institute. Yep.
Thank you, Dr. Will. And one theme or one area that you mentioned briefly when you came on here a few weeks ago. And I'm quite, I'm trying to think of the word, really interested, artificial intelligence. Because,
yeah.
I was fortunate to have Pulotu, Bruce Levy, in the studio, and he touched on that as well, the importance of understanding that, because it is the future. And, I mean, we're running out of time, so I'm going to have to book you in for another session, Will. Is that okay?
Yeah, we can certainly talk about AI and how that's likely to impact the future of not only ophthalmology, but medicine and life in general. It's definitely the way forward, I think. Just briefly, I think... as your previous guest mentioned, Jacinta, it's important we are a part of this movement, and that that information isn't going to be used against us in any way. It should be used in a positive fashion. And I don't think it'll ever get to the point where it's like Skynet and Terminator, but.
My favourite movie, Terminator 2.
Yeah, but it's definitely the way forward, and I think it's going to help. Yep.
Once again, Dr. Will, it's an absolute pleasure having you in the studio in person. Really appreciate this, I know you're a busy man with your practice and also your pro bono work. So if it's okay with you, I'd love to get you in again in the next... when you can give us some of your time.
Thanks, Mel. Yeah, it's a real privilege to come on here with you, and I enjoy it, so I'm very keen to come back. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Will, and also thank you to all our listeners out there. And don't forget, you can download the show and share it around, and it's all for the better for all of us. Thank you once again, Dr. Will.
Thanks, man.